It is a joy and pleasure to be with you this morning. An opportunity to renew friendships, but also an opportunity to meet new folks and to share in this special time together, a time of celebrating the presence of the living Christ. I'd like to begin with a reading of two very brief verses from John's Gospel, chapter 20. These words in verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And in verse 28, Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. They were gathered in a small apartment on Red Lion Street in London, England, on September the 16th, 1741. This was a church synodical conference with the huge number of 10 in attendance. They were all selected by the lot, among them some of the bishops of the church. But I think it is amazing to note that there were as many women in attendance as there were men, and among the women was a 16-year-old girl. Talk about early inclusiveness in the church. The apartment belonged to one Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, and this was a gathering of representatives of the Moravian Church. They had one sole item on their agenda, and that was to select a new chief elder from among the people of the Moravian community. Now, the office of chief elder had been vacated by the resignation of Leonard Dober, who, as a bishop of the church, wanted to devote more time to the pastoral and spiritual care of the Moravian Church. But at the same time, perhaps his resignation had as much to do with the fact that his leadership hadn't been without dissension, as people questioned what he did and what he didn't do, and it seems like some things never change over all the years. Now, the process that they would use for the selection of a chief elder was the lot. In those days, Moravians made important and significant decisions by selecting a lot, a process that, for the most part, is no longer used in the modern church. The purpose of the lot was to let Jesus have a direct voice in decisions of the church. The elders or leaders of the church would discuss the situation, and they would propose a solution. And then they would pray for divine guidance. And finally, they would pull out a slip of paper from a box. If it said yes, they could go ahead with the decision. If it said no, they would pause and wait for another solution. Now, sometimes the lot would say, wait. And so they would give the situation a little more time, a little more prayer and thought, and then try again to come to a decision. I quote the Reverend Dr. Craig Atwood, who is Associate Professor of Theology and Ministry at Moravian Theological Seminary. On September 16, they asked the Lord if Leonard Dober could stop being chief elder. And the answer was yes. After that, they submitted many names of people that they thought highly qualified to be the chief elder to replace him. And each name was submitted to the lot. Each of those names was rejected. A no. They grew worried, and they took a time to pray and read the Bible. The verses that they selected to read all talked about Jesus' role as the chief shepherd as the chief elder of the church. Finally, the small group of elders decided to ask this question: does this signify that the Savior would himself undertake the office? To their surprise, the lot agreed. Jesus was officially named to be the chief elder through the lot. End quote. No human being would ever again hold that position of chief elder. Only Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the head of the church. They made that decision, my friends. And it is daily our decision as to whether or not Jesus Christ is still the head and the Lord of his church and of our very lives. I ask you, is this Jesus Christ the Lord and the head of our church, your church? And is this Jesus the head and the Lord of your life? How do we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church, our church? When everything you and I do is done to give glory to God and to build up the body of Christ, then Christ is Lord and head of the church. When we use the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament in the way they were intended, then Jesus is Lord. And I'd like to explain that. And I want to again quote from Dr. Craig Atwood, this time a Moravian perspective on the Bible, the Scriptures. Jesus doesn't point us to Scripture for answers, but that the Scriptures point us to Jesus so that in him we might find the answers. I want to repeat that. Jesus doesn't point us to Scripture for answers, but that the Scriptures point us to Jesus so that in him we can find the answers. From my viewpoint, that is profound and a most appropriate way to view and use the Bible. When as a church our ministries are among the feeding of food to the hungry, a cup to a thirsting person, clothing to the naked, housing to the homeless, offering friendship to the friendless, when we accept everyone inclusively and welcome all people at all levels to fully join with us in fellowship, then Jesus Christ is Lord. When as a church and as members of that body, you and I move beyond the attitude of entitlement to more and more of an understanding of commitment to the servanthood and sacrifice, then Jesus Christ is Lord of the church. And how do you and I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives? When you and I begin each day with a prayer of thanksgiving, expressing gratitude to God for the privilege of life and the many and awesome ways in which God has blessed and enriched us, then Jesus is Lord. When in our lives each and every day we renew our relationship with Jesus and invite him to share life's walk with us that day, every moment, then Jesus is Lord. When you and I come to understand that we must work at keeping our relationship with Christ alive and vibrant through worship, through the reading and the study of the Scriptures, and for simply making time to be still, to be silent and quiet before God, to wait on God, then Jesus is Lord. My friends in Christ, we join this morning with sister and brother Moravians around the world in gathering at the Lord's table. We commemorate the date of November the 16th, when announcement was made to all of the churches that the position of chief elder had been filled with the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. And we give expression to that truth and that reality today in what we do. As chief elder of our church, and as the Lord of our lives. Each and every time we come to the Lord's table for the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are in fact demonstrating that Jesus is Lord. And as Lord, that Jesus is truly present among us in a very real way. Perhaps you've already heard this story. If so, it is one that bears repeating. In the Lutheran-Moravian dialogue that brought us into a full communion relationship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, one of the Lutheran representatives, still trying to figure the Moravians out, asked the question, just how is Jesus present in the sacrament of Holy Communion? To which the Reverend Dr. Frank Crouch, the Moravian representation, responded, any way Christ chooses to be present. Think about it. We don't define it. Jesus does. This is mystery, and mystery simply cannot be completely defined and explained. In our tradition, it is the mystery of Jesus Christ, real, present, undefined, that we here celebrate. And here, you and I, as we partake of bread and of fruit of the vine, have opportunity to personally and collectively experience the real presence of the living Christ among us.